Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So today we're reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 46. Uddhava visits Vrindavan, and we're going to read 7, 8, 9 through 13. So, in case you will, I think we'll do what, 7 together?
We'll do 7 responsively, okay. And then the rest we'll all read together. Shri Shuka Uvacha.
Shri Shuka Uvacha.
Ityukta Uddhava Rajan. Sandesham Bharturadrita. Adaya Rathamaruya. Prayayau Nanda Gokulam. Shri Shuka Uvacha. Ityukta Uddhava Uddhavo Rajan. Sandesham Bharturadrita. Adaya Ratham Aruya. Prayayau Nanda Gokulam. Shri Shuka Uvacha. Ityukta Uddhavo Rajan. Sandesham Bharturadrita. Adaya Ratham Aruya. Prayayau Nanda Gokulam. Ladies.
Shri Shuka Uvacha. Ityukta Uddhava Rajan. Sandesham Bharturadrita. Adaya Ratham Aruya. Shuka Uvacha. Ityukta Uddhava Rajan. Sandesham Bharturadrita. Adaya Ratham Aruya. Prayayau Nanda Gokulam.
Okay, so we'll go to next text. We can all read together. Prapto nanda vrajam shriman nimlochati babahasau channayana pravishatam pashunam kudare nubi. Vasitarte viyudhyabhir naditam shushnibhir vishai dhavanti bhishavashrabhir udhobharai svavatskasakan itastato vilangabhir govatsai manditam shitai godoha shabdabhiravam venunam nisvasi Gayanti Vishya Karmani Shubhani Bala Krishna Yo Swalankrita Bhir Gopi Bhir Gopaischa Subhirajitam Agnyarkatiti Go Vipra Vitre Vitai Dupa Deepaischa Malyaischa Gopa Vasar Manoramam Sarvata Pushpita Vanam Dvijali Kulanaditam Hamsa Karana Kirnai. Doesn't move. What's your last line? I can't get it to move.
Padma Satas Cha Manditam.
Okay, let's see. Maybe
I lost the last line.
Okay, here. Padma Sandaisha Manditam.
All right, so we'll start with the translation back on text 7. We're ready for that? Text 7 translation. Sukadeva Goswami said, thus addressed, O King, Uddhava respectfully accepted his master's message, mounting his chariot, and set off for Nanda Gokula. So just right there, Uddhava just agreed to the task. So he's been given a very special task, I'll read about that a little bit. To when Krishna was and Balaram, they were discussing amongst themselves, who could we send to Braj to deliver this message? This message is not a simple message. These are his residents in Vrindavan that have no other interests. Their whole life is Krishna. And he's more or less having to say that he's not coming back right now. So who can deliver it correctly? Who can be sensitive enough to recognize this situation? So maybe I'll just read a little bit, then we'll go on to the next part. Where this is the conversation from the Gopal Champuba Jiva Goswami that as a little bit leading up to this one point here, they were discussing amongst themselves. Talking in this manner, discussing who is going to go there, and seeing the suffering faces of Yasoda and others in meditation, all three began weeping. So this is Krishna, Balaram, and Rohini. This is the discussion on who to send there. So in meditation, they're seeing the residents of Vrindavan and his mother and his father. Then they decided they must quickly engage a knowledgeable, astute person to send the message to Braj. After meeting and deciding this, Krishna, the enemy of the demons, began thinking, I must send this to Braj, someone who is the most wise and is respected by the people of Mathura and Braj. But he should not hide anything from me. The messenger who understands my sweetness and majesty will be able to pacify Braj. If he only understands my sweetness, he will be burdened by the anguish of their intense grief. If he only understands my majesty, he will consider their absorption in my sweetness to be improper behavior. If he has mere knowledge of the sweetness and majesty, it'll be of little use. There will be no fault finding or censure if he realizes that in all cases depends on prem. So I'll read that last sentence since I bumbled it. There'll be no fault finding or censure if he realizes that I am in all cases dependent on praying. So I... Prema, P-R-E-A-M-A, Prema, 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 love, pure love. Thinking who would be the best person for this task, in Mathura he suddenly remembered, ah, like forgetting a Chintamani jewel worn on the neck when desiring a rare object, I have been dull-minded because Uddhava is a suitable person who will cause me bliss. Uddhava, who realized something of my childhood pastimes while worshiping me during his childhood and who developed sickness by hiding his prema for me during his Kishore age, is here with me. I constantly desire the association of Uddhava, who studied under Brihaspati the authorized scriptures on conduct, starting from the Bhagavatam, in order to disseminate the rules on how to serve me, who experiences the whirling nature of praying for me, and who is most suitable to be my minister. So it goes on a little bit more, where we get an insight into Krishna considering who can take this message. So then they called for Uddhava, and Uddhava, at this verse, he accepted it. So now, what that means to Uddhava when he accepted that, is this a simple thing to do? Is this an easy thing? So anyway, he accepted it. So now we'll go to text 8, which is, the fortunate Uddhava reached Nanda Maharaja's pastures just as the sun was setting, and since the returning cows and other animals were raising dust with their hooves, his chariot passed unnoticed. And 9 through 13 is Gokula resounded on all sides with the sounds of bulls in rut, fighting with one another for fertile cows, with the mooing of the cows, burdened by their udders, chasing after their calves with the noise of milking, and on the white calves jumping here and there, the loud reverberation of flute playing, and the singing of all auspicious deeds of Krishna and Balaram by the cowherd men and women, all made the village resplendent with their wonderful ornamented attire. The cowherds' homes in Gokul appeared most charming with their abundant paraphernalia for worship of the sacrificial fire, the sun, the unexpected guests, the cows and the Brahmins, the forefathers and the demigods. On all sides lay the flowered forest, echoing with flocks of birds, swarms of bees, beautified by its lakes, crowned with swans, Karna Dava ducks, and browers of lotuses. Purport by the disciples of Srila Prabhupada. Although Gokul was merged in grief because of separation from Lord Krishna, the Lord expanded his internal potency to cover that particular manifestation of Braj and allowed Uddhava to see the normal bustle and joy of Braj at sunset. Om Ajnanata Mirandasya Dinajanasalakaya Chaksum Maritanyena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Jayatam Tam Jayatam Du 2 Jayatam Surito Pangur Mamamanda Matirgati Mat Sarvasva Padambo Jo Radha Madana Mohano. So here we just have apparently a village scene, not much different than what we'd see any place else, according to the naked eye. So the naked eye would just see this. What's unusual about this? This is just a scene of a village. But what can we see by the mercy of the Acharyas? What vision are we seeing? Are we allowed to see? So, of course, Bhagavad Gita 15:11, it says that, paraphrasing, because of our development of Krishna consciousness, we can see things that other people who haven't developed their minds through self-realization and sadhana, chanting the holy name under regulations, they cannot see. So let's review a little of the tattva before perhaps we'll see how we go, if we can hit the rasa aspect of this. So in the Bhagavad Gita, there's one verse that says, all living entities are born into delusion, overcome by the duality of desire and hate. So if you went up to one of the residents of Vrindavan and you mentioned that, they might say, so much philosophy. This is all we know is Krishna. So of course, if you look at that, the duality means there's something else besides Krishna. There's matter. But for the gopis or the residents of Vrindavan, there is no duality. They're all they know is Krishna. So there's different languages being used. So in philosophy, sometimes they use a different language. Let's look at another verse from the Bhagavad Gita. I think it's maybe 15:9. It's one who sees inaction in action and action in action. He's wise. Oh, you're going to pull it up? Well, then I should probably say it correctly. You have it there? Well, I was going to look up. I think it was... okay. It's... 4:18. 4:18 is, one who sees inaction in action and action in action is intelligent amongst men, and he is in a transcendental position, although engaged in all sorts of activities. So are these residents of Vrindavan engaged in action or inaction? So we see in the language of the Bhagavad Gita, just like it was pointed out the other day, that when Krishna spoke the Bhagavad Gita, he spoke it at Kurukshetra. And just earlier, just a little bit before that, he was also at Kurukshetra with the residents of Vrindavan. And Krishna never leaves Vrindavan, so he's always thinking of Vrindavan. But yet, in this situation, he's saying, one who sees action in action, that what is this duality? What is this material existence? This is in this particular series of verses, unless we have our tattva in order, then what will we see? What can we see in these activities? So presumably, according to Prabhupada's desires, we've gone through the Bhagavad Gita. We've gone through the first nine cantos, Srimad Bhagavatam, and we're understanding these points on how the mind works, how the material and the energy works. It says that you get a particular body, yam yam api smaram bhavam, your bhavam, according to your consciousness at the time of death, you get a particular body, and the senses are all grouped about the mind. So what kind of mind do the residents of Vrindavan have? What kind of bodies do they have? Are they made of the same elements that the material bodies are made of? Or are they made of an expansion? Are they different from the internal potency? So we have to kind of catch up a couple of these points on when we're looking at these pastimes of make sure our tattva is in order, understanding The tattva, in one sense, for me, I simplify things because I can hardly understand anything, is how everything is working. The tattva explains how everything's working. And the rasa is why it's working. What is the real essence of what's going on in the eternal life of bliss and knowledge is the exchange between Krishna and the living entity, which is put aside or dormant when one is covered by the modes of material nature. So one gets to understand how these modes are working, that no living entity is free from these modes unless he takes shelter of the pure devotee, engages in devotional service. The devotional service is not a material activity, it's a spiritual activity, which gives the impersonalist a really difficult time to understand. Just like that verse, one who sees action and inaction, it's specifically directed that unless they understand that there's three potencies, there's the material energy and the spiritual energy, and the marginal potency, that you have the choice, and our choice is to surrender to Krishna or get covered by his material energy. So in the purport to this verse, what struck me about this was, which I'm going to expand on a little bit. It says, although Gokula was merged in the grief of separation from the Lord Krishna. All right, just on that one point, Radhika Raman was telling me that he was listening to Radha Govinda Maharaj talking about this, and he explained when Uddhava got to Vrindavan, he asked, where's Nanda Maharaj's house? So there was a stream passing by, and he says, just follow the stream. Anybody know what the stream was caused by? The tears. So, although Gokula was merged in grief because of this, just see, in this world, everybody's looking for that perfect love. But we're materially contaminated and we have our karma, but still the desire is there. So we get maybe brokenhearted and you think, never again, I'm never going to do that again, that hurt too much. I'm never going to love again. But then you can't help yourself, so you try. But here, that's a perverted reflection. These persons have found that perfect love and have reciprocated with that perfect love perfectly. In Vrindavan, and now they're not seeing Krishna. I mean, if you don't mind, you know, I sometimes go philosophy and sometimes emotion. This is just to capture a little bit of emotion that every one of us, because most of us have lived a while in this plane of existence, has had that experience of wanting to love, desiring. Maybe when you're young and you have, they call it puppy love, you know, you just give yourself to someone and then there's, but the person didn't turn out to be just what you were hoping for. Well, that Krishna, that's who we were hoping for. And it was Krishna. And they don't have material bodies that are made of anything else but prema. And they're having that relationship with Krishna. And right now, it's separated. So all we have is a hint of that in this world. Maybe from children, maybe from lovers or spouses that, anyway. If we could get a moment of feeling there. Okay, so merged in grief, because that's actually the origin of this, that we're reading about now is the origin of why these things exist in this world and why they can never be satisfied, because it's for Krishna. So we separated that, where's the origin of that? Why is it so powerful in this world, even though it ends in poison, it has such bitterness. So, although Gokul was merged in grief because of separation from Lord Krishna, the Lord expanded his internal potency to cover that particular manifestation of Braj and allowed Uddhava to see the normal bustle of the joy of Braj at sunset. So how did he do that? Do you know how he did that? How Krishna does things like this? How he expands his... All right. If we think for a minute, we would probably come up with it. What it is, they're saying, the normal... he didn't get them to see the grief, but he allowed them to see the joy. So where does the joy come from? Where does the joy in Vrindavan come from? Krishna. Okay. So what Krishna has different... He's got a lot of things he can do. One of the aspects of Krishna is called sporty. Sporty? Is that pronounced close enough? Sporty? That means... there's a couple famous verses that have that word in it. Sporty means Krishna manifested himself in everything in Vrindavan, the way it is, for them to feel the joy. Or is anything in Vrindavan actually separate from Krishna? In one sense it is, in another sense it's not. Krishna never leaves Vrindavan. So he manifested that aspect called sporty. And then the other aspect of this that we could consider is that Krishna did this for Uddhava. He's doing this sleight of hand. He's doing this aspect of covering the normal grief of all of the Brijvasis for Uddhava to see the joy that they normally have when Krishna's present. So he adjusted the perception of Uddhava through his internal potency. Now, if we think about that for a moment to have some understanding that we can use on that, is that Krishna also does that for us. As they surrender to me, I reward them accordingly. Vasudeva Sarvamiti Samahatman Lodorlava. So, is Krishna everything only after you realize that Krishna is everything, that Vasudeva Sarvamiti? That means that the person, after he surrenders, after many, many births of cultivating knowledge, all the pixels come together and make the picture that it's Krishna. So at that time, he realizes that Krishna is everything. Well, did that mean that Krishna wasn't everything the moment before? Krishna is always everything. But we're not recognizing that. Why not? Got a little speck of dust in our eye. We got some dust covering the mirror. Cheto Tarpana Marjam. So we're chanting the holy name, working on this, and that aspect of Krishna being everything is because he's dynamic. He's interactive with the living entity at every moment. Just like here, he's expanded his internal potency to cover that particular manifestation. But you know what he does for the conditioned souls? He expands his external potency to cover. He actually covers Vrindavan with his external potency. So you can't see it, Vrindavan. You can't buy a ticket to go to Vrindavan. So there, sometimes it's a cataract. It's considered a cataract that keeps our that hard substance that clouds the vision. But there's an instrument, you can take it out. Is it an ointment, an anjana? There's an anjana that's a special instrument for use for clarifying the eyes. You know that one, right? The prema. All right. So let's see what we're seeing here. We're seeing what Krishna wants us to see. And then according to our level of advancement, we can see different things because Krishna is interacting with every one of us, just like he was interacting with Uddhava, to let him see or let him not see. So that aspect is very important because we're working on our vision. The vision you see by your affection, actually. You know, this is what you see. if you have 10 people and you ask 10 different people, what do they see? They just like it's a, there's a verse something like that, that if a businessman goes into a forest, all he sees is how he can turn this into money, maybe make the trees into toothpicks or something, and or lumber, and he just wants to devastate everything to make money. And then if a lusty person, he goes in, he just thinks, look at all these beautiful ladies just waiting for me to come, and I can figure out how to. So all they see according to their affection. So what do these residents of Vrindavan see? So this place, even though it's being presented just like an ordinary thing, we can see by the mercy of the acharyas, Acharya Van Pusho Veda, that this is the perfection. This little scene right here, this is perfection. Everything that we read about in the Bhagavad Gita, about just like we had that verse, one who sees inaction, here we're seeing, what is this action or is this inaction? We're seeing everything, the culmination of all the different philosophical points. Here's a living example of what it looks like. Because a lot of times, if you talk to different people outside of the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, they think, well, maybe could there actually be any activities? Because activities mean karma. Actually, it's almost a synonym, action, karma. You're doing something. But so how it is there could be action without karma? That unless you're liberated by, or at least given the chance by mercy to understand that, they it's not available in the internal potency, the external potency to understand that. And if they're in the bodily conception of life, they're just seeing designations here and here. But what are these bodies made up of? These bodies are pure desire to serve Krishna manifested. I mean, how do you, like yam yama pisma, whatever state of consciousness, so is there a difference in their consciousness? In the material world, our bodies are generally made of the modes of nature, which is different than pure consciousness. Just like they say the air is, some people say the air is dirty, but the air is not dirty. The air is always air. It may have in suspension particles of dust that make you think, or the sun's not out. The sun's out, it's just behind the cloud. The sun's always out. So these bodies, there's a difference between the soul and the body because of the modes of nature. But a spiritual body is, there's no difference in the consciousness and the activities of those bodies. Just like they give the example of the iron rod. Is it made of iron? Yes. But what happens when you make it red hot? It's fire. It acts like fire. Everything it touches, it's fire. So these bodies are actually part and parcel of Krishna. They're all Krishna's energy. And when they're used in his service, they're spiritual. So impersonalists, they cannot understand that. They can't understand how there's activities. If they saw this scene here, they wouldn't be able to understand it. But here it is that we're taking this mercy, gradually drop the water, wear away a stone, or grinding sandalwood, it turns it into paste. It takes so much effort. So by daily, nityam bhagavata seva, or what's the verse, maybe one or two before that, shushusho shradara danya, dev kata ruchi. So this Vasudev kata ruchi has a marvelous effect. It develops an urge, this ruchi, this urge to hear. And it says, by that urge to hear, because the jiva sighs, it's going to take on the qualities of whatever it serves. So the living entity, it has 56 of the 64 qualities of Krishna in minute portions. And by hearing this Nityam Bhagavata Seva, the Seva, I'm going to jump a little bit, see if I can bring it together, is Krishna is attracted by qualities. There's qualities. Krishna is attracted. In fact, he had a conversation where he was saying, who could attract me? Only someone who has more qualities than me, better qualities than me. So where is Krishna going to find anyone with better qualities than him? What did he have to, who did he find those qualities? Where did he find them? Radharani. And by engaging in devotional service, who shelters that under? Whose thinking is the realm? In Vrindavan, is there a difference between Radharani's mind and Vrindavan? This whole Vrindavan is expansion of Radharani's mind, and we're engaging in service. So whose qualities are you going to take on? And as you take on those qualities, what they say, that I think Bhaktisiddhanta said, don't try to see Krishna. Act in such a way that Krishna will want to see you. So when one engages in devotional service, he develops these qualities. And avarujite, these qualities have a particular effect that I asked Krishna Sarup when he was here about avarujite. You can always ask him dhatus on Sanskrit words. He's a Sanskrit person. So he says ru, and it's a ru, he says, is cage. It means Krishna is encaged in your heart. So how do you capture Krishna? What's the bait for Krishna? What do we know that Krishna will go after all the time? All right, I'm not going to get too far out. I'm going to stop there then. And maybe if there's any questions or comments, we could take them. Oh, what is it? I didn't read the other verses. I read them all, didn't I? I read all the verses. It was the last, the translation and the purport, the 9 through 13. Yeah, I read them. Thank you. Yeah, we have to always pay attention. Me too. Yeah, because we were talking about the village scene, and it appeared like it was an ordinary scene, just the bulls running around, the cows and everybody. There's actually a very nice explanation of all these different things too that I brought in that I was going to read it. It's the same verse, but it's translated a little bit differently. And it mentions Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, he explains Raj is described in five verses, desired by the inspired by the desire potency, Icha Shakti, of Krishna, who thought, let Uddhava see the splendor of my Braj. Yoga Maya covered the particular manifestation of Braj, which was merged in grief because of the separation from Krishna, and undergoing disinterest. He's got the Sanskrit words for each of these different types of bhavas, that there's a disinterest that we could explain. Like, for instance, if anybody's had a heartbreak, practically, they can't do anything. Sometimes they just wither away or he died. They say, what's wrong with him? You know, he's just lifeless. So that's disinterest. Depression. What good is life anymore without so-and-so? How can I even go on? How can I live? Humility. Instead, Yogamaya showed Uddhava a typical evening in Braj in which Krishna was present, charming with positive sentiments of joy, playfulness, eagerness, and enthusiasm. Because the cows were in heat, the bulls were mad, mooing loudly, and fighting with each other over with another male with Braj echoed with the sounds of the cows running after their new calves. Along with the sounds of milking cows, there were shouts in all directions. Let the cow loose. Let the cow loose. Bring the cow here. Do this quickly. Do that slowly. Bring this. Take this. Give this. Receive this. Braj also appeared splendid on account of the sounds of the flutes and the singing of the gopis. The performance of sacrifice and the worship beautified the homes and the cow sheds. And then there's more just to see this excellent scene, most excellent scene of what it was. And then he went a little bit into the technical aspects of how Krishna's Yogamaya works by expanding how Krishna does this spurti, how he manifests all himself personally present. Just like for us, we understand it says, at a certain stage, one can certainly see the presence of Lord Krishna in the pages of the Bhagavatam. What is he seeing in the pages of the Bhagavatam? That's Krishna, that's the spurti. He's seeing Krishna there. And of course, how does that interact? It's a udipan. That's inspiration for enlivening his heart more and more. So this relationship is explained more and more in a nectar devotion as we become ready and prepared for that. Then those things manifest more importance in our study and our development. Krishna will direct us like that. So any other or any questions or comments? Thank you for being attentive, and I hope it made some sense. Hare Krishna, glories of Prabhupada.